Nehemiah chapter 4 today. We'll be referring to verses 11 to 23 at this time. As you can see, if the PowerPoint is up, we're going to be talking about battling and building. Battling and building. We already addressed a little bit of that last week when we got into the first part of Nehemiah chapter 4. Well, I believe we as Christians are trying to build something of our lives, trying to build something of our families. We each are trying to improve ourselves and improve our homes. That's the way it should be. We're trying to build a local church and build the kingdom of God. On top of all these challenges, we each have some personal struggles that we have to face each and every day. And we are constantly dealing with attack of our enemy, Satan. Constantly dealing with that. And Satan is the one who wants to destroy our lives and our life's work. That's what he wants to do. He knows he can't take you to hell with him. The only thing he can do is ruin your testimony or try to discourage you and keep you from continuing to work for the Lord Jesus Christ. That's his goal now. You know, when you're thinking about what Nehemiah was going through, this battling and building, we find out he was a good leader. And we find out that now they have reached a point where they had a tool in one hand and a sword or a spear in the other. That's the way it was going to be. They didn't have the luxury of a security force to back them up so they could focus on the work. They didn't have that. They had to take care of themselves. Can we say they had to multitask? Sometimes that's difficult, and sometimes people have trouble with that, but they had to multitask. They had to keep one eye on the work and the other eye on the enemy. It was a little bit like Gideon. Do you remember the story of Gideon and how he was instructed to pick men to help him in the battle? It started out, man, he had a large group. But the Lord knew that it wasn't going to take a large group, it's just going to take the right type of group. And so he was instructed to lead them to a brook to drink and choose only those who crouched down kind of in a battle stance and cupped water up to their mouths and not those that got down and lapped it up like a dog. Their backs were exposed. Anybody could have come up on them. Getting down on one knee and just cupping and keeping attention about what's going on around you. Those are the ones he picked. And the couple thousand that he had originally thought were going to go with him boiled down to how many was it? I think it was 300. But they got the job done because they were the right kind of people. We need to remember, and I can't emphasize this enough, if I have to emphasize it in every message I preach, you need to be aware of this. We need to remember there's two worlds. One is seen and one is unseen. That's the way it is. Yes, we seem to just live in a physical world, but the spiritual world is just as real. And it is more powerful and it is eternal. Look at Nehemiah 4, verses 11 and 12. And our adversary said, they shall not know, neither see, till we come in the midst among them and slay them and cause the work to cease. And it came to pass when the Jews which dwelt by them came, they said unto us 10 times, from all places whence ye shall return unto us, they will be upon you. Now the enemy was planning a surprise attack. I've often said Don't get in a conversation with the devil. Don't think you can ever take on the devil alone. You can't. He is stronger than you. That is one reason that when we receive Jesus Christ as our personal Savior, He gives us the Comforter and the person that can lead and guide us, that dwells within us until He calls us home to glory. He is called the Holy Spirit. We need to rely on the Holy Spirit. God can whoop the devil. You can't, but God can. And you need to remember that throughout your life. So the enemy planned a surprise attack. We're going to take them when they're not looking for us. That's why we always need to be close to the Lord, whether we're sitting in a church service or whether we're at home or whether we're at work. We need to be alert and aware that Satan is busy. What will be Nehemiah's strategy against a surprise attack? Well, look at verse 13. Therefore, set I in the lower places behind the wall, and on the higher places, I even set the people after their families with their swords, their spears, and their bows. Did you take notice in about the middle of that verse? After their families. Nehemiah put every man in a position where he could defend his own family. If you have children in public school, you need to know what's going on with your children in public school. By the way, even if you have them in private school, you need to know what's going on. So that means you need to get to know the teachers. You need to, if they have a PTA meeting, what do they call it now? A pastor, teacher, something, but you get together and you sit down and you find out what's going on. You need to be aware of what's going on. And that's helping to defend your family. So here he put every man in a position where he could defend his own family. And that would make him a little bit more comfortable. It wasn't like he was on a battlefield wondering what was going on back home. His family was right there. So he knew what was going on with the family. That even made him more aware about the enemy around him. And he wanted to be very wise and alert to what was going on. He was protecting his family. So Nehemiah put them with their families, and he armed them well. You need to be armed well, too. Most of all, with this, the sword of the Lord. But also, sometimes, you need to be also educated. Not just accept what you're being told. Not just being told, you will put this in your body because we said so. Now, I'm not going to get into what you should do and what you shouldn't do about the things that are going on now. But there is no man and no government in this world, listen up, that's going to tell me that I have to put something in my body and I don't know what it is. Not going to happen. You help yourself. But I'm getting sick and tired of people telling me what I can and what I cannot do. And remember, we're to obey the government when they make rules that make sense. If they put a sign up out front, and there is one I think here, I forget whether it says 25 miles an hour or 35 miles an hour, but we ought to obey that. That's a wise thing to obey. But when you start telling me what I put into this body that God created, now we're talking about a different story. So, Nehemiah 4:14. And I looked and rose up and said unto the nobles and to the rulers and to the rest of the people, be not ye afraid of them. Remember the Lord. You ought to underline that if you like to underline in your Bible. Be not ye afraid of them. Remember the Lord, which is great and terrible. And by the word, by the way, that word terrible means fear-producing and awe-inspiring. That's what it means. And fight for your brethren, your sons and your daughters, your wives, and your houses. Now, that's pretty clear. That's pretty clear. Remember the Lord was to be their motto. That was their rallying cry. Now, you might remember in your history classes when you went to school, you might have remembered a couple of things that you learned there and some of the rallying cries that we had during the different wars that we had to experience in the world, in the United States of America. We're going to, Brenda's going to put these up as we look at them one at a time. In a Spanish-American war, our nation's battle cry was, wait a minute, am I getting ahead of myself here? I hope I got these in the right order. Our battle cry was, remember the Maine. The sinking of that ship motivated our response. Is that the one I had up first? Which one I have up? Lusitania. Let's go with that one. Why is the sinking of the Lusitania important? The sinking of the Lusitania was an important event in World War I. The death of so many innocent civilians at the hands of the Germans galvanized American support for entering the war, which eventually turned the tide for the Allies. This nation was founded on godly principles. And when we still honored those godly principles more than we do today, we were feared, like we said last week, we were feared by the nations around the world. Don't mess with them. And some of them, I believe, even knew deep down inside, even though they didn't say it, because God is on their side. The next one that I think comes up now is the one about Maine. Is that correct? Remember, the Maine refers to the USS Maine, which was destroyed in Havana Harbor in 1898. That was before even I was born, okay? The phrase, remember the Maine, refers to the explosion of the battleship in Havana Harbor in Spanish-controlled Cuba. This phrase was used to create enthusiasm in America for a war with Spain. Can I maybe refresh your memory? We're not speaking Spanish, we're speaking English. Then the next one, Pearl Harbor, is that the one? We remember Pearl Harbor because it was a pivotal moment in modern history of America and the world. How America responded to Pearl Harbor would determine the outcome of the Second World War. But more than that, it would determine the fate of a dream that freedom and liberty could endure in this world. Many men and women gave their life throughout the history of America to give us the freedom that we experience today. 9/11, I believe, is the next one. 9/11 happened, and we said, never forget. Sad to say, I think we forgot. It should motivate our response to Islamic terrorism. Now, I'm not going to dwell on this long, but I believe I'm accurate in making these statements. I believe we have three that are serving in Congress now that come across like they don't love America, who they're supposed to be serving, and they're supposed to honor the Constitution, and deep down inside, they hate Israel. But there's enough of politicians of a liberal persuasion surrounding them that they tell them, now you want to make big bucks and you want to stay in this position, just be a little quiet. Don't be so outspoken and keep those things hidden or you get in trouble. You say, well, that don't happen. I believe it does. I still remember, and I don't see how this can be right. And if I'm wrong on this, you correct me if you got the proof for me. When a senator or a House of Representatives says something in their position or when they're in session, they can almost get away with everything, including lying. I remember one man that was the head of the Senate at the time made some false statements. He was very careful how he worded it, but made false statements against the man that was running for president that happened to be a Republican. After it was all said and done and the Republican had lost, he was interviewed. And the person that interviewed him reminded him, you know, you lied about this man. You know, that was a lie that you said, and, you know, everybody knew it. Now, these weren't his exact words, but it came out like this. Well, it worked, didn't it? That's sad. That's very sad. Very sad. Napoleon always reminded his soldiers of some past history to stir them up to fight. When Paul the Apostle wrote his letter to a young preacher boy by the name of Timothy, he gave him a rallying cry. 2 Timothy 2:8, here's what it says. Remember that Jesus Christ of the seed of David was raised from the dead according to my scripture. I serve a risen, living Savior. He's on the throne. He knows what's going on. And as long as I am on the path he has placed me and I continue to serve him, nobody can touch me till he says it's time. And that goes the same for you, too. So we need to take a bold stand on the Word of God and continue to proclaim the gospel message, Jesus saves. And he is the only means of our salvation. That's the rallying cry of believers today, the same one that Paul gave to Timothy. Remember the Lord. And that was a rallying cry for the Jews too. Look at verse 15. And it came to pass when our enemies heard that it was known unto us and God had brought their counsel to naught, that we returned of all of us to the wall, every one unto his work. Now the Jews could go back to work. They found out, the enemy found out they couldn't surprise the Jews. You know, Nehemiah was, I tell you what, I would love to have a couple Nehemiahs around me, wouldn't you? He was something else. And I think there are some out there, by the way. I think the pastor down in Dover is one of them. I think Mr. Barton is one too. Nehemiah was a very ingenious fella. He still had some more strategy. Look at Nehemiah 4 and verses 16 and 17. It came to pass from that time forth that the half of my servants wrought in the work, and the other half of them held both the spear, the shield, and the bows. And the harbingers and the rulers were behind all the house of Judah. They were builded on the wall, and they that bear burdens with those that laid it, everyone with one of his hands wrought in the work, with the other hand held a weapon. There it is. I love this. But you know, that's a picture of us today, really. You may not physically see that, but each builder had a trowel in one hand, which he used to build, and in the other hand, he carried a sword, which was used to defend himself. Here it is. That's for you and I. I've often told you, I get in a lot of interesting conversations. I don't know if I told you about this one or not. If I did, then you can go to sleep till I'm done. But I have a fella said, I'd like for you to listen to these, or watch these 30 videos that this guy put out. He says, he's really good. You know, he doesn't believe in hell, and neither do I. He says, I want you to look at him and tell me what you think. Well, I didn't look at all 30. I don't have to. 2 minutes of one tells me a lot. So I'm just waiting now to get back to the fella, and I'm going to use this to explain to him hell is real. It's not a figment of someone's imagination. And people themselves choose to go there because they reject the free gift of salvation that God provides. I went looking for him the other day. He wasn't there. But I'll get back to him and let him know what my thoughts are. And I'll do it very lovingly, very kindly, and very compassionately. And hope that he'll receive Christ as his Savior someday. Amen? And then he'll preach the truth. These two weapons or instruments should be in the hand of believers today. The trowel represents the fact that believers should build themselves up in the faith. We talked about how the devil's so busy with discouraging people. We addressed that last week. Well, we all can get discouraged. We're human. We're in the flesh. But just the only thing that's bad about that is if you stay discouraged. You don't want to stay in that condition, and you don't need to. And, of course, where we said the trial represents the fact that believers should build themselves up in the faith, we need to hold the sword of the Spirit. That is also important for us as believers in the age in which we live. Sword of the Spirit is the word of God. And that's what we use to defend ourselves. We need the trowel in one hand and the sword in the other. Look at Nehemiah again, chapter 14. Look at verse 18. Look at verse 18. For the builders, everyone had his sword girded by his side, and so builded, and he that sounded the trumpet was by me. And I said unto the nobles and to the rulers and to the rest of the people, the work is great and large, and we are separated upon the wall, one far from another. In what place, therefore, ye hear the sound of the trumpet, resort ye thither unto us. Our God shall fight for us. That's important. You win a battle, don't put your nose up in the air and strut around like you did something. God did it. He just used you to do it so people could see that he's still on the throne. There it is. Nehemiah said, I will watch. And when you hear the trumpet, come to that spot and we will meet the enemy head on. Look at verse 21. So we labored in the work, and half of them held the spears from the rising of the morning till the stars appeared. That's a long day. Long day. I don't know what union those men belong to. I'm kidding. But they certainly worked longer than 8 hours, and I don't think they were complaining about getting overtime. They worked from the rising of the sun until the stars appeared in the sky. Believe me, they were tired and weary. And then look at verse 23. So neither I nor my brethren nor my servants nor the men of the guard which followed me, none of us put off our clothes, saving that everyone put them off for washing. Of course, Nehemiah says here, of course, when we took a bath, we took off our clothes. Do you know, I often said very respectfully, God has a sense of humor. And I think sometimes he puts that humor in the Bible. Yeah, even a crisis like this, the Lord inserted a little humor. Otherwise, they never removed their clothes day or night. They were on guard all the time. Be aware of what's going on around you. Make sure that your information that you receive is accurate and correct. Be very careful about what you accept as truth, even on the internet or Mr. Google. Be careful. Make sure that it's accurate. Make sure you can depend on trust the person that is giving you information. And most of all, always check it out with the word of truth, God's word. Always check it out there. They were on guard all of the time. They were clothed with the armor of God. Now, let's summarize, and then we're done today. All of this is found in chapter 4. Follow with me, and we're just going to summarize, and this will be it. First of all, they had a mind to work. You have a mind to work for the Lord? Should. Verse 6. So build we the wall, and all the wall was joined together under the half thereof, for the people, what? Had a mind to work. They also had a heart to pray. Verse 9, nevertheless, we made our prayer unto our God and set a watch against them day and night because of them. Verse 9 also bears this out. They had an eye to watch. We need to realize, again, what we said at the beginning, two worlds, one we see, one we don't. But they're so intertwined. That's why we have to be so sure of what God says and what God wants us to do. And then verse 20. So we labored in the work, and half of them had held the spear from the rising of the morning till the stars. Verse 20. In what place, therefore, ye hear the sound of the trumpet, resort ye thither unto us. Our God shall fight for us. They had an ear to hear. Sometimes, because I'm a pastor and I've been in the ministry now more than a year or two, it's interesting when I sit down and I talk to somebody and advise them, or they come to me for help, and I tell them, here's the answer, this is what God says, and they sit in front of me and they're looking at me, but I know they don't hear me. Why? Because of the result of what happened afterward. It seems to go in one ear and out the other. We need not to be like that. We need to pay attention to God and His word. We need to be aware of that all the time. We should be building, but we're in a battle. And we ought to know how to handle both aspects of that, because God gives us wisdom from His word how to do it. And that's important, especially in this day and age in which we live. Let's pray.